Welcome to Tardi Melchanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Ilana Flamenoft, and today we will be studying Sefer Divrei HaYamim Bet, Perek Lamed. Chapter 30 describes the Pesach holiday that Chizkiyahu celebrated at the beginning of his reign. We learn a lot of information from the first three verses. Vayishlach Chizkiyahu al kol Yisrael v'Yudah, v'gam igro katav al Ephraim u'Menashe, lavo lebeit Hashem, b'Yerushalayim, lasot Pesach l'Hashem alkei Yisrael. Chizkiyahu sent word to all Israel and Judah. He also wrote letters to Ephraim and Menashe to come to Hashem's house in Jerusalem to keep the Passover for Hashem, the God of Israel. The king and his officers and the congregation in Jerusalem had agreed to keep the Passover in the second month. For at the time, they were unable to keep it. Not enough priests had sanctified themselves, nor had the people assembled in Jerusalem. Chizkiyahu wanted to have a Pesach celebration for the entire nation. We learned in the last perek that Chizkiyahu was the first king of Malchut Yehuda who was on the same level as David HaMelech. Chizkiyahu believed he had a genuine opportunity to get Malchut Yehuda back on a course toward the coming of Mashiach. He wanted to try to unite the kingdom to celebrate Pesach. His choice of this holiday makes sense. The first Pesach lamb was an act of spiritual defiance. By slaughtering it openly, Bnei Israel publicly rejected idolatry and declared exclusive allegiance to Hashem. It was a courageous statement. We belong to Hashem alone. Pesach marks Israel's transformation from a group of slaves into a covenantal nation bound to Hashem. Chizkiyahu sent letters throughout his kingdom and even to the tribes remaining from the northern kingdom. We said in chapter 29 that Reuven, Gad, Menashe, Naphtali, and Zvulun had already been exiled by Assyria. But why would Chizkiyahu think that the Shvatim in the northern kingdom would want to come? The rabbis in Seder Olam Rabbah explain, Ota sha'ah, kevan sh'ra'ah Hoshea ben Ela, shegalu aglei zahav, amad ve'evir pardesa'ot, shehoshiv yiravam ben-nevat al-hatchumen, shelola lo Yerushalayim. We have discussed that when Yeravam ben Nevat became king of the northern kingdom, he was worried that the people in his kingdom would go to the Beit HaMikdash for Sukkot and realize that their king wasn't legitimate. So he set up checkpoints on the border to prevent the people from going to Jerusalem. But the king of Israel during Chizkiyahu's reign was Hoshea ben Ela, and he removed the checkpoints. So Chizkiyahu thought that maybe the tribes would come to Jerusalem when he invited them. But Chizkiyahu had a problem. Rashi explained that the Kohanim, the priests, had not consecrated themselves sufficiently for the people to offer the Korban Pesach, the Passover offering. Not to mention the fact that we learned in chapter 29 that they did not finish sanctifying the temple until the 16th of Nisan. So they could not celebrate Pesach in its proper time in Nisan. So Chizkiyahu and his princes and all the congregation in Jerusalem discussed the possibility of performing the Paschal offering in the second month, Iyar, instead of the first month, Nisan. There is already a precedent in the Torah that in certain circumstances, the Paschal offering can be sacrificed on the 14th of Iyar as a substitute for the 14th of Nisan. It is known as Pesach Sheni. It should be noted that there is opinion of the rabbis in the Talmud and Sanhedrin that what Chizkiyahu wanted to do was create a leap year and add a second Adar to the calendar and celebrate his Pesach and Nisan. However, we will be learning the chapter according to Radak, who holds that Chizkiyahu decided to celebrate Pesach and Iyar. In verse 4, we learn that the postponement of the Paschal offering was right in the eyes of the king and in the eyes of the entire congregation. So they decided to announce throughout Israel that people should come and celebrate Pesach in Jerusalem. Much encouragement was needed. For many years, the celebration of Pesach had fallen into disuse in the northern kingdom. Messengers were sent with letters that said, "Bnei Israel, shuvu el Hashem elkei Avraham Yitzchak v'Yisrael, v'yashov el pleitah nisharet lachem mikaf malchei Ashur." Children of Israel, return to Hashem, the God of your fathers, Avraham, Isaac, and Israel, so that God will return to the remnant of you who escaped from the hands of the king of Assyria. Do not be like your fathers and like your brothers, who trespassed against Hashem, the God of their fathers, and he made them into a horror. Stretch out your hand to Hashem and come to his sanctuary, which he sanctified forever, and serve Hashem so that his fierce anger will turn away from you. If you turn back to Hashem, you will find compassion for your families from their captors, and thus they will have hope that they will survive and return to this land. This is, of course, is referring to the five tribes who were already exiled by Assyria. But they laughed and mocked the messengers. Chizkiyahu's hopes to reverse the downward trend which had plagued the Israelites since Shlomo was king, was not meant to be. But some people from Asher and from Menasheh and from Zvulun did humble themselves, and they came to Jerusalem. Verse 12 informs us, Gam b'yudai tayyad elkim, latei lehem leiv echad, lasot mitzvat ha-melech, v'hasarim v'dvar Hashem. The hand of God was upon Judah to imbue them with one heart, to obey the commands of the king and the princes in accordance with the word of Hashem. The people of Yehuda had also been pulled away from Hashem's service during the evil Ahaz's reign. Malbim suggests that the fact that they now agreed with unanimous enthusiasm to celebrate Pesach could be the result of divine intervention. Verse 13 informs us, Vayasfu Yerushalayim Amrav, Lasot Echag HaMatzot, B'chodesh HaShini, Gehal L'Rav Ma'od. A great crowd assembled in Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Matzot in the second month, a very great congregation. They rose before they offered the Korban Pesach, the Paschal offering, and removed the altars that were in Jerusalem, both the shrines that were designed for the service of God and the altars dedicated to idolatry. And they removed all the censers for incense, or the places where incense was burned, and cast them all into the Kidron Valley. They slaughtered the Pesach on the 14th day of the second month. The Kohanim and Levium were ashamed and sanctified themselves. They had been tardy in cleansing themselves because they didn't believe that Chizkiah would so quickly undo all that his father Ahaz had done. The Levites stood in their respective places, each performing his task in accordance with their order, in accordance with the Torah of Moshe, the man of God. The priests sprinkled the blood which they received from the hands of the Levites. For a multitude of the people, many from Ephraim and Manasseh, Yisachar and Zvulun, had not purified themselves as they partook of the Korban Pesach, not according to the guidelines of the Torah. Yet Chizkiyahu prayed on their behalf, saying, Hashem, pardon for each one who set their minds on worshiping Hashem, even if they are not purified for the sanctuary. Vayishma Hashem al Yechizkiyahu v'yirpat ha'am. Hashem heard Chizkiyahu and healed the people. The children of Israel who were present in Jerusalem observed the festival of Matzot for 7 days with great joy, and the Levites and the priests were praising Hashem daily. Then, in verse 23, we learn, Vayivatsu kol kahal lasot shivat yamim acherim, vayasu shivat yamim simcha. All the congregation decided, after due consideration, to celebrate another 7 days. So they joyously celebrated another 7 days. The entire congregation of Judah, the priests and the Levites, the entire congregation that came from Israel, and the strangers who came from the land of Israel and who lived in Judah, rejoiced. Who are these strangers? Radak explains that these strangers were remnants of the seven Canaanite nations. Since they rejected idol worship, they did not fall under the category of those who were prohibited from living in the land. But why would they be involved in the rededication of the Beit HaMikdash and the Pesach holiday? Here is where we see again Chizkiyahu's hope to bring Mashiach. The intensity of his religious revival managed to even draw the outer fringes of society. But tehi simcha gedola b'Yerushalayim, ki miyimei Shlomo ben David melech Yisrael, lo kazot b'Yerushalayim. There was great rejoicing in Jerusalem, for since the time of King Solomon, son of David, of Israel, nothing like it had happened in Jerusalem. Malbim explains that only in Shlomo's time were all of the Israelites united in Jerusalem. After that time, the 10 tribes did not participate in the Shalosh Regalim, the festival pilgrimages, until now, during Chizkiyahu's revival of the temple service. The chapter ends, Vayakumu akohanim ha-leviyim, v'yivrachu et ha'am, v'yishma b'kolam, v'davo tfilatam l'ma'on kodsho l'shamayim. The Kohanim and Levium rose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer went up to God's holy abode to heaven. We don't know what the blessing was. Maybe it was analogous to Aaron's blessing of the people at the inauguration of the Mishkan, the tabernacle. It doesn't say clearly there in Vayikra what the blessing was either, but according to the Midrash there, the prayer was that their efforts in inaugurating the tabernacle should elicit Hashem's goodwill, and that he should permit his Shechina presence to dwell in their handiwork. It would make sense if that was the content of the blessing here also. The people's rededication was so sincere that Hashem accepted the bracha of the Kohanim. We conclude this chapter on an elevated note, marking the second consecutive chapter that highlights Chizkiyahu's sustained efforts to reunify the kingdom and guide the people toward their messianic destiny. This shiur is dedicated L'zecha Nishmas Marcy Stern, Mincha Yehudis Bakid Eliyahu. She was a dedicated teacher whose deep love of the Sifrei Nevi'im and Shiva Etzion left an indelible mark on her many students.